I am honored to be sitting next to the man who I've spent so many years listening to from the days at KZEW till the moment he started KTCK. My role model, my hero, my idol. We talk every Wednesday when we mix for Intentional Grounding. But then I get to sit next to you for a few moments before you actually play music. Not just music, but the music you love perhaps more than any other is a great honor and a great thrill and a great pleasure.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Very nice to say so. And I appreciate that.
Well, I'm
honored to be sitting next to the guy who knows so much about so many things and knows so many people and can get any question that he needs answered.
You must be referring to David.
I'm referring to both of you, actually.
No, that's Robert. The phrase, jack of all trades, master of none.
That's me.
Not applied to Robert.
That is me.
He is a jack of all trades.
I am a jack, that is for sure.
He's a jack of all trades and a master of all of them, too.
So it is a great thrill, Mike, to be sitting here. You're going to be doing this thing for the next couple of hours. We certainly want to get out of here because we know the Mavs post-game show is going to put you up against it. So before we get out of here, do you want to give another sort of preview of what you're about to do here? Is it mostly music? There's going to be some storytelling, some personal history in terms of why you love Tom Petty so much.
There's going to be all of that. This is probably maybe going to be a little bit too first person for a lot of people, but folks ask me all the time, why Tom Petty? What got you into it? How did you get into it? How many times have you seen him? Did you ever meet him?
Right.
You know, this, that, the other, and we're going to see if we can't answer a few of these questions tonight, and I will as well get into the things that I know and have read and have heard and have been told about his career and why it went the way it did and how it went and everything like that. And trying to give everybody as overarching a look as I possibly can of the life and career of Tom Petty.
So let me ask you this. Why didn't you do one of these for Walter Becker and Steely Dan retrospective after Walter died? Because they mean as much to you in some ways as Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, it's 1 and 1A for sure, yeah. But I don't know very much about Walter. I know a lot about Tom Petty. I know a good bit about Donald, because Donald has written books, and Donald's story is pretty much out there.
Right.
Walter's is not.
He was an enigma.
Yeah. I mean, what I know about Walter is in conjunction to what Donald's put out there about him.
Right.
You know, and that has to do with how they met and everything like that, and, you know, getting together in college and whatnot. But I can't tell you very much at all about, you know, what the guy was really like, other than what Donald has said and what I've read on Wikipedia.
He was an inscrutable interview. I interviewed him several years ago.
Really?
He was very fun, but he did not answer a question with a straight answer. He was very much like Tom Waits in that regard. They just like to make joke out of the interview, whereas Donald is very sincere and thoughtful when he gave you answers.
Yeah. I would imagine that you have to prove yourself to Donald.
Yeah.
And make it like, or make him know and understand that you're not just going to waste his time.
Right.
But once you do that, and once you show him that you're a little bit up on this, then, yeah, he's probably pretty good.
I will say this. I went out after when they died so close to each other, I went out the other day and ordered FM, the soundtrack and the DVD, because I've never owned it. I haven't seen FM since I was a kid. This weekend, I cannot wait to watch FM, which has a great Tom Petty appearance in it.
Yes, it does, boy. I hadn't thought about that yet, about FM. I hadn't thought about FM, period, in years and years.
I mean, it's where Steely Dan and Tom Petty come together.
Yes, it's where they intersect. Yeah, I need to do that, too.
Come over and watch FM with me this weekend.
Gladly.
That'll be great. Until then, I'm very excited about the next 2 hours, Mike's Tom Petty extravaganza. David and I will be back next week, assuming David returns safely from New York.
Unlikely.
And then San Francisco. David, I've missed you. I'll see you in a few days.
Hey, while you guys were talking, I was able to finish filling my time.
Did you hang up on him, killer?
Yep.
Whoa.
God, what a jackass. All right, that's it for Intentional Grounding. Up next, my hero, my idol, my role model, Mike Reiner, and the Tom Petty extravaganza. Next.
Our Tom Petty fan, Mike Reiner, is paying homage to his hero here
on a Wednesday night after round on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Let's just say that it is late 1976, or perhaps early 1977, and you got a little change in your pocket. You're just kind of messing around looking for something to do with it. Would kind of like to go out and dig a new sound. So you roll over to Sound Warehouse or Sound Town or Sound City, or Hit Records, or whatever the case may be, and you're walking around through the stacks, and you see this record with a black cover, and this blonde guy with a smirk on his face and a black leather jacket standing beneath a flying V stuck through a heart, and it says Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And you go, this looks interesting. Maybe you've heard Breakdown a time or two on the radio. Maybe it's starting to get a little radio buzz and you've heard that. You kind of dig it a little bit. You'd heard the name of the band, but you really weren't too up on it. But let's just say that you decide to take the plunge. And you go up there and give the man your $7.99 or whatever. Walk out with it. You take it home. Open it. Put it on the turntable. And instead of searching for Breakdown, the song you know, you decide that I'm going to play this straight and play it true and do it just like it was intended. Well, if you did this and you started with the first side on side one, then that would have been the first Tom Petty song that you listened to, that which we just rolled. That, of course, Rockin' Around With You, which is, by the way, the song that he opened his most recent and final tour with, because it was the 40th anniversary, and it was the first song that most of us ever heard by them. It hadn't been played live in many, many years, but he drug it out to open the tour, no doubt to the dismay of the Frau, who was hoping he'd start with Running Down a Dream or Mary Jane, or I don't know, something that she was familiar with. But he didn't do that. He wanted to do something for the hardcore fans, and that is what he opened his tour with. This is our Tom Petty retrospective here on The Ticket. We're going to spend the next couple of hours or so going through the music, the lifetime of the man, his career. This is going to be rather first-person centric tonight. I plan on exchanging with you some of the answers to some of the questions that people always ask me about regarding Tom Petty, like what got you into him, stuff like that, what got you into playing his music, all that type of thing. And what we've done here is I've gone through his body of new original albums, of which there are 15 albums of new original stuff. This does not count greatest hits, anthologies. It does not count live packages, does not count box sets or anything like that. These are just the 15 albums of new original stuff. And I've taken one song from each album to play for you, which we will discuss in some level of detail after it's over with. Now, a word of warning here. We put this out on the show. We put it out on social media. If you're thinking that we're going to be rolling out the hits tonight, then you are sadly mistaken. If it's the hits you want, what I would do then is show up at the Barley House Saturday night and check out Petty Theft, because we'll be rolling them out there. But tonight, we're going to get into some of the deep stuff. And I've given a lot of thought to this. I've tried to pick out songs that I've liked a lot over the years that you may not know, but I think you should know about. So that's what we're going to try and expose to you tonight. The first Tom Petty album came out in November 1976. And it went to number 55 on the charts. In the band were the central five heartbreakers. Him, Mike Campbell on guitar. Stan Lynch was on drums. Benmont Tinch on keyboards. And Ron Blair on bass. That was the Heartbreakers unit for the first extended part of their career. And that would last for the first, I don't know, five, six albums. Something like that. It was a starter album. You listen to it and it sounds very primitive. The production is very dry. You can tell they're kind of new to this. And, you know, if you know too much about how the story of how the band started, they got together in Florida, in Gainesville, Florida, and they moved to California just to see if they could go big time, just to try and make it out there. And, as they did, you know, they didn't get a whole lot of breaks along the way. There were a lot of legal hassles and going from this record label to that record label. It must have been a pretty rough go out there in California in the early days for them. I know for a while, Tom Petty was Leon Russell's houseboy. Leon Russell lived out there and they were on Shelter Records. That was Leon Russell's label. Shelter was helmed by a Brit named Denny Cordell. And it was probably all those guys could do just to exist and subsist out there. And for a while, I know that Tom Petty was pretty much staying with Leon Russell, and anything Leon needed doing, he would take care of. I have no idea how the rest of them made their way through this world. But eventually, that worm would turn as they got out of their first contract and got into a better deal. And on it went. Right now, though, let's listen to a song from their second album. This is the album You're Gonna Get It, which has a very unusual story on its own. This is a song that garnered a little bit of radio play at the time, but today it is almost entirely unknown. It's called Too Much Ain't Enough. Check it out. Thank you. There you go. That is Too Much Ain't Enough from the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers album, You're Gonna Get It. That came out in May of 1978. It hit number 23 on the charts, and oddly, that album is relatively unknown today. There are a lot of people who I know and consider to be fairly substantial Tom Petty fans that really don't know much at all about that record. I'm not sure why that is. It might have to do with the fact that American Girl from the first album was kind of late to take off. And the first two albums, the first album and You're Gonna Get It, were recorded in very close proximity to each other. They pretty much had You're Gonna Get It ready to roll in a very, very short period of time after they did the first album. And I guess when American Girl became a big hit, that just kind of swallowed up You're Gonna Get It. And not too many people wound up hearing that album. Listen to Your Heart was the big single on that album. Listen to Your Heart probably is the first Tom Petty song that ever really registered with me. So there is that as well. All right, we got Damn the Torpedoes, Hard Promises, and Long After Dark coming up. We need a break here, John.
Yeah.
What would your counsel be?
Probably sneak one in here and then come back and do that.
All right, we'll take a look at those albums coming up next here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to the Tom Petty Retrospective.
Petty Theft's Mike Reiner is holding forth on the dearly departed Tom Petty tonight on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick.
So in 1976, I was playing in a light rock, disco, lounge type band. I was playing drums in that band. And I was listening to all kinds of music. And I was not liking what I was hearing in any of it. Rock was getting very, very splintered and very fragmented at that time. And there wasn't just much settling right there in the mainstream that did anything for me. On the one hand, you had punk, this thing they called punk, starting to come in. I didn't like that very much. Those guys seemed angry, noisy, and I didn't like that. Neil Young had just put out Russ Never Sleeps. I was going through one of my downturns in my love for Neil Young at that time. And I didn't like that too much because it too was very noisy. And Russ Never Sleeps is generally considered the forerunner of the grunge thing. Disco was out there. And it was still going pretty strong, although maybe not quite as strong as it had been just a couple of years earlier. You had country music starting a pretty big upsurge that would lead into the urban cowboy scene. And all of that's fine. I don't mean to disparage any particular genre of music because it's all out there for anyone who wants to enjoy it to do so. But the question was, okay, where does this leave a guy like me? None of this is talking to me. Well, every time I heard this new group, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, they seemed to hit me right at that sweet spot that I still had. And I heard rock and roll the way that I used to hear it and the way that I wanted to hear it. And then I started finding out a little bit about the band, and I found that it was structured in much the same way as a lot of bands that I had been in myself, where you had guitar players, bass, drums, and keyboards, and a few guys who sang, and that was it. That was how you made the music you made. And that was another thing that I liked about them. Let's fast forward the tape to September of 1979. A friend told me that the guy that did news on KZEW, a local rock station, was about to leave to go become a lawyer. And he was looking for somebody to do his dirty work in the news department. You wouldn't get paid for it. You would get college credit if you wanted it. Well, I wasn't in school at the time, but I figured to make this legit, I better get in school. So I went and enrolled out at UTA and went up there and talked to him about this and wound up getting an internship. So there I was, an intern at KZEW. Dallas Radio. About 3 months after that, the record that would change the life of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and just about every fan that they ever had came out. That was Hard Promises. Hard Promises was their really big album, the first one to really break them. It had many hits on it. It had Refugee. It had Here Comes My Girl. It had Don't Do Me Like That. It had Even the Losers. Four really big radio hits and a couple that got played on the radio that weren't so big off of that album. It was huge, and every day I'd be walking the halls up at the zoo, and I would hear that album come wafting through it, and I especially liked Here Comes My Girl. Back then, and even today, I think that is just about the quintessential rock and roll song. There's another song, though, that a guy that was up there at the time, and I used to talk about music a lot, and he would always ask me, what's your favorite song by so-and-so? And I'd tell him, and he'd tell me his, and that's just the way we rolled. That guy was John LaBella, the late, great John LaBella, with whom I would partner for several years on the morning show, subsequently. And I want to play the song that he always told me was his favorite Tom Petty song, which came off the Hard Promises album. And this, indeed, is a great song. I really don't understand why this song did not get more airplay than it did, because it's, for me, one of the two or three best songs on the entire record. Certainly better than some of those songs that did get airplay. But nevertheless, here it is. Here is Shadow of a Doubt. The Great Shadow of a Doubt, off of Hard Promises by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. That was their third album. That came out in May of, October of 1979, and it topped out at number 2 on the Billboard chart. So as you can see, the band was starting to make it. It's one thing for a band to make it and get up there. It's another thing to stay up there. They had to come up with a good follow, and they came up with one, Hard Promises, which came out in 1981. This had The Waiting on it, and that was probably the biggest hit. There are a couple of other songs that are quite popular, such as Night Watchman. But let's go back to the time of roaming the halls at the zoo and the stuff that we used to hear while we were doing that. Up there at that time, as we were roaming around, I kept hearing this song over and over again. It was never issued as a single, but I always loved this song. It would always draw me in because it had a real eerie, real creepy vibe to it. It was dark, and it was kind of swampy, and it was kind of Cajun and Southern and everything. And I think the things that gave it to us were the riveting drum playing of Stan Lynch, the congas, the keyboards, the acoustic guitar. I don't even think there's any electric guitar on this song. But I want you to hear this because everybody up at the radio station at that time was really digging this song. I still dig it today. It is called Something Big off Hard Promises.
There wasn't no way to live. still made bed, all except the pillows that lay stacked up at the head. And once said, I know I've seen his face, I wonder who he is. And the other said, he's probably just another clown working on something big.
That is Something Big off of Hard Promises. That came out in May 1981, charted out at number 5. Let's move now to Long After Dark. And here is where we start to hit what I think is the first downturn of the career of Tom Petty. There were 3 songs on this album that were really good, but I was kind of disappointed in all the other stuff. Those 3 songs were You Got Lucky, Change of Heart, and Straight Into Darkness. The rest of the album was, I don't know, it was missing something that the others had. But nevertheless, it still did fairly well, but it was a harbinger of what was to come. Straight Into Darkness is one of my, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 favorite Tom Petty songs that he's ever done, so let's listen to it from the Long After Dark album. Here is Straight Into Darkness.
Thank you.
the great Straight Into Darkness. That is from Hard Promises. Hard Promises topped out at number 5 and was released in May of 1981. All right, John, we ready for another break here?
Yeah,
that'd be a good idea. Okay, coming up next, we're going to get into the rest of the first and biggest prolonged downturn in the career of Tom Petty.
This one hurts. It hurts the Hardline's own rhymes pretty bad. So here he is giving Tom Petty his own special tribute on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick.
Just a little bit before 9 o'clock here on The Ticket. Probably should move this thing on a little bit. We're only going to do 2 hours, but who knows? We may go longer. I don't know. It's the first time I've ever done one of these things. I don't know how they roll. Anyway, let's get into what I consider to be the first big downturn of the career of Tom Petty as we do our Tom Petty retrospective. This began with the Long After Dark album, which still had 3 very strong songs on it. I didn't think that was the case with the Southern Accents album. Now, a lot of people are going to take issue with me on this because it did spawn the biggest single of his career, Don't Come Around Here No More. But at this time, the band was starting to fray a little bit. I think there were some tensions, and they were always a flammable group anyway. I remember one time very early in the career of the Heartbreakers, I saw them at Reunion Arena. I think this was the second time that I saw them, which would have put it probably 1980 or something like that. And I know I was sitting close enough to notice what was going on stage, and I noticed a few guys shooting kind of dirty looks toward each other, and Tom shooting dirty looks at guys. And I remember that the second encore that night was a very, very odd selection. One that I really enjoyed because I love this song. And one thing I've always loved about Petty is he is not shy at all about pulling out old nuggets from the 60s that he has never recorded or anything and playing them on stage. And that's what he did here. He pulled out Pretty Ballerina by the Left Bank. And that was their second encore. And I guess something went wrong with it, or it was not to his liking. It seemed fine to me. I loved hearing it. But after the song was over, they were applauding, and the people were applauding and standing up and everything. The house lights came on. People started to file out. And the house lights were up before they left the stage. And right before he did, Petty was playing a Rickenbacker guitar on that. And he took it off and just flung it hard to the ground. Like he was really, really pissed about something. They were kind of flammable like that. Anyway, Southern Accents, a lot of people really like that album. When they toured on that, they really wandered off track because on the record they used horns, they used singers, and when they toured they used all those things, and it was just a much, much bigger, much more involved production than any of their other tours had been, and I didn't think it worked very well. I didn't think that album was that good. However, there is this one song here that I've become quite fond of here recently. Now, this song is very, very cheesy. You're probably going to think it's super gay. That's okay. We're going on with it anyway here. This is off of Southern Accents. This is The Best of Everything.
She probably works in a restaurant. That's what her mama did. But I don't know if she ever really could have put up with that. But maybe she slangs in a nightclub. Cause sometimes she used to say
nights take forever, and the good nights don't ever seem to last.
Best of Everything off of Southern Accents that came out in March of 1985, and it peaked at number 7 on the charts. Move on now to Let Me Up, I've Had Enough. This album came out in April of 1987, and I didn't even know that they had an album in the works when this appeared all of a sudden. And this is another album which signals a downturn in his career, and I really wondered just what the deal was here. I think that this was the point where the bass player Ron Blair left the band and Howie Epstein came on board. Howie Epstein replaced Ron Blair, and the big allure of Howie Epstein was that Tom Petty wanted to get a really good high singer in the band, and Howie Epstein could do that. Anyway, off of Let Me Up, I've Had Enough, there are all kinds of different elements that went into this too. And he kind of got off into a little bit of a synth thing. So let's listen to a song called Runaway Trains off Let Me Up, I've Had Enough. Thank you. Runaway Trains from Let Me Up, I've Had Enough. That came out in 1987. That takes us now into the first solo album of Tom Petty's career. After this, he decided that what he needed to do was close ranks and just do something that was not such a big deal with not as many moving parts. So he... Mike Campbell, Jeff Lynne, and very, very few others started getting together in the garage of Mike Campbell, where they had a studio set up. They started making some tapes, messing around with some songs. And the next thing you know, he had an album that would really retrench his career. Let Me Up, I've Had Enough peaked at number 20 on the charts. So, in a matter of about 8 years, he had gone from number 2 on the charts to number 20. And he needed to retrench a little bit. And the outcome of this album did that very thing for him, because this was his first album, solo album. It was called Full Moon Fever, and this was a big, big, massive hit with many radio hits on it, such as Running Down a Dream, such as Free Fallin', and other songs that have worked. I Won't Back Down is on this album. And those three songs for sure have worked their way into the first tier of the Tom Petty pantheon, but there are always those little nuggets in the background that never quite got the buzz that I think are as good, if not better, than any of the others. I'd like to play one of those for you right now. This is called A Face in the Crowd from Full Moon Fever.
Facing the crowd. into my life, and you were just facing the crowd. You were just facing the crowd out in the street, walking around, facing the crowd. Facing the crowd. In the crowd. A face in the crowd.
A face in the crowd from Full Moon Fever. Full Moon Fever came out in 1989 and it made number 3 on the charts. That listed as a Tom Petty solo project. And there are no mention of the Heartbreakers on there anywhere, although a couple of them did participate. One guy who did not participate and was really pissed about it was the drummer, Stan Lynch, who was Petty's most frequent combatant in the band. They had a quite flammable relationship, and that didn't help anything, or help things too much. Up next came Into the Great Wide Open. Now, this is the Tom Petty album that I probably listen to most these days. I can always find some great song on there that I've not listened to in a long time that just sets my soul on fire. This had Learning to Fly on it. That was probably the biggest hit. It came out in 1991. And Jeff Lynne was at the helm for this. All the Heartbreakers were in on this, but the big difference between this and the others is that the band members were given no input whatsoever. They were instructed to come in, play their parts, and we'll call you when we need you. And all the decisions regarding production, tune stacking, everything else regarding this album were made by Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne. That didn't set well with most of them. So much so with Stan Lynch that this is what drove him out of the band after that. A lot of great songs on this album. The title song, there's Learning to Fly. And there's also this little nugget, which most people probably are not going to be familiar with. This is called You and I Will Meet Again.
so far away. I hear a voice come on the wind, saying you and I will be again. I don't know how, I don't know when, but you and I.
That is You and I Will Meet Again from Into the Great Wide Open, which hit number 13 on the Billboard charts, released in July of 1991. What we need right now, John Fahey is telling me, he is the dark overlord after all, and I have to do what he says. He says break, so we break. You're listening to the Tom Petty retrospective here on The Ticket.
Our Tom Petty fan, Mike Reiner, is paying homage to his hero here on a Wednesday night after hour on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. And this is a Tom Petty retrospective. We're going through his career. Playing stuff for you, telling you a little bit about it. Maybe it's stuff you know, maybe it's stuff you don't, maybe it's stuff you care about, maybe it's stuff you don't. Maybe you're bored silly, wishing I would get on this thing and listening to it anyway. That's all that matters, man, just that you're listening to it. All right, let's move on here. The last thing we did was a Great Wide Open that came out in 1991. This was a very significant period in the career of Tom Petty because, first of all, he was changing record labels. He left MCA and was about to sign with Warner Brothers, which is the label with which he ended his career. And the second reason it's significant is because this was a very, very prolific songwriting period for him. He did a whole lot of songwriting, and he wanted to make a really good album for his first one for Warner Brothers. He wanted it to be really, really strong. And so what he did was wrote as much as he could, and he hooked up with Rick Rubin, the noted record producer, to work with him on this. And when they started to get cracking on it, they got together one day just to see what Tom had, and Tom started playing songs for Rick Rubin. He'd play one, Rick Rubin would say, "That's good, I like that." "Play another." Rick Rubin said, "That's a keeper, let's do it." "Another." "Yeah, that's good. Let's record it." "Another." "That's really good, man. Let's do it." And on and on and on it went. And the next thing you knew, they had a ton of songs. I've heard that they had as many as 35 to 40 songs that they thought were good enough to record and good enough to put out on an album. And the thought was that the next album was going to be a double album. Now, fortunately, they backed off of that idea and decided to release just the one. And that one was another Tom Petty solo album. This was Wildflowers, which is one of everybody's favorite Tom Petty albums. Wildflowers came out in 1994. This was done primarily with most of the Heartbreakers, although it is listed as a Tom Petty solo album, with the exception of Stan Lynch. Stan Lynch was gone from the scene by then. And then one of the big jobs for them was to bring on board another drummer. And they weren't real sure where to look for that. But in the intervening downtime, Mike Campbell had gone over to England and played a couple shows with George Harrison, a couple of big concert-type shows with George Harrison. And when he came back, he and Tom were talking about the drummer situation. And he told Tom, When I played that deal with George Harrison and Eric Clapton, there was a guy with us that was really good. And I think we should take a look at him. So they did. And that guy turned out to be Steve Ferroni. Now, oddly enough, I saw Steve Ferroni for the first time in the 70s when he was playing with the well-known Brit keyboard player Brian Auger. And they were playing a place up on Lemon Avenue called Gertie's. And I had a pretty strong hookup over there at Gertie's at that time and was standing right behind the stage, just mere feet away from this very, very young, very, very skinny black Brit drummer named Steve Ferroni. And he was really, really good and really broke down and really, really funky, and I really liked him. About a year later, I saw him when he played with the Average White Band at McFarlane Auditorium, but then I totally lost track of him and hadn't heard nothing about him until he turned up on the Wildflowers album. He would subsequently join the band, and they would finish out their time with him manning the kit. Wildflowers is a real odd mix mash of songs and moods and stuff like that, but they really made it work. And this is a song that I'm really fond of. This is called Crawling Back to You, off of the Wildflowers album on the Tom Petty Retrospective.
Follow day. Most things I worry about never have. to you.
Back to You. That is off the Wildflowers album. That song was not a hit. However, every time Petty Theft plays it, everybody is into it. Surprising how many people have heard that song considering that it was not a hit. All right, that was from the Wildflowers sessions. We told you how those went, that there was just a preponderance of songs. A lot of those songs have not seen the light of day, so if you're wondering if there's going to be any more Tom Petty music, the release of those songs has been rumored for years and years, and I bet sometime down the road, probably sooner rather than later, that will happen. Let's move now to the She's the One album. By the way, Wildflowers charted at number 8 in 1994. The She's the One soundtrack. This is a soundtrack from a very minor movie that came out. This album came out in August of 96. All the songs off of this were from the Wildflowers sessions. So some of the songs that didn't make the album did indeed see the light of day on his next album. And here is one that I've always been fond of. I remember back in the day, we used to have a rock station on 93.3, The Zone. A great rock station that they gave up on entirely too quickly. And when this album came out, they played a couple of songs off of it. And this is one of them. This is called, this is a tune called Climb That Hill on our Tom Petty retrospective here on The Ticket.
To get up and climb that hill again. Little Lucy's such a doll, like a climber garden wall, but she only sees me as a friend. To get up and climb that hill again.
broken. You close one door and another opens. You hear the music and you wander in. You got to get up and climb that hill. Get up and climb that hill. You got to get up.
Climb That Hill. That is from the She's the One soundtrack. Came out in August of 96. Hit number 15 on the charts. 3 years later, Tom Petty went through a very, very difficult and very painful divorce. And that manifested itself on the next album, Echo. That is his divorce album. Now, he says it's not. Everybody else says, yeah, it kind of is, too. Because it's got a lot of really dark, really depressing songs on it, and I just love it. And I thought I would spin one of those for you here to put you in a really good frame of mind. So let's listen to the title song off of Echo, which came out in April of 1999.
Put down your things and rest a while. You know we've both nowhere to go. Yeah, Daddy had to crash. He's always halfway there, you know. And no, I don't pretend there's any more of that. They say one day you'll look up and laugh and hear the same sad echo when you walk. Yeah, the same sad echo when you talk loud and clear. I will worship you like gold and ride your train forever. Electric fortunes to be told. And I don't wanna question or even celebrate all the joy you took and then gave back too late. It's the same sad echo when you lie. It's the same sad echo when you try to be clear. It's the same as the same.
all the time. And no one could explain it. It was all between the lines. And I don't seem to trust anyone no more. It could be me, I'm just not sure. It's the same sad echo every day. Yeah, the same sad echo another way. When you call, it's the same as the same sad echo most of all.
Six minutes and 37 seconds of cheerfulness. The title song off of the Echo album by Tom Petty. That came out in 1999 and topped out at number 10 on the charts. All right, we need one more break here. We may or may not be back. It is just about time for that Mavericks post-game show, assuming this thing does not go into overtime. And if it doesn't, I appreciate you listening very much. And if it does, well, we'll come back and finish this thing out next here on The Ticket.
This is Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership, KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth, KTCK FM Flower Mound, a Cumulus station.